Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Icicles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, we're joined by guest Nick Kroll and a second guest who could be the most important guest in Jordan, Jesse, Go history. Let's go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Beautiful evening in Los Angeles. The air is crisp and clear. Fall has fallen, which happens in Los Angeles at the beginning of December every year.
I've got my new fall dew.
Yeah, you do. That's true. It's one of
dew.
The Mountain Dew seasonal dews.
Mm-hmm. An apple spiced dew. dew nog.
We have a wonderful guest in the studio here with us. You know him for his work, of course, on FX's The League, on HBO's The Life and Times of Tim. In his upcoming comedy special, for his live and television appearances in his various beloved characters. His name is Nick Kroll.
Oh, hello.
Wait a minute. Are you giving me an... Because it occurred to me, you and John Mulaney,
yes.
Another brilliant comic mind,
mm-hmm.
Have developed a pair of characters mm-hmm. that you perform as Oh, Hello.
Yes.
And they're sort of, they're divorcees.
Yes.
They're sort of classy New York gentlemen.
Upper West Side.
They meet in a bookstore.
The Strand.
And they're well known for their turtlenecks.
As you are wearing currently.
And it occurred to me as I was cooking the soup that I was cooking before, I'm wearing a Pendleton over a turtleneck. So it's cool here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I was wearing an apron with ducks on it.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me, like, when the doorbell rang the second time and Jordan was already here, I was walking up the stairs and I was like, oh, I'm dressed. I'm basically in costume is one of Nick Kroll's best-known jokes.
Oh, but you have... You have more than a modicum of self-awareness, which is a trait that none of my characters seem to hold.
That's true. That's fair.
I feel embarrassed. I thought Dana Carvey was coming over. That's why I dressed as Dieter. Oh, shit. That's Mike Myers.
Shit.
Ah, fuck.
God damn it.
Can I take that again? Church lady.
Yeah, there you
church
go.
Lady.
You church lady.
Good church lady's fall
due.
Got
the orthopedic shoes. My church lady fall due.
And the desperate need for approval.
Sure. Exactly.
He's making a comeback, Dana Carvey.
Is Dana Carvey making a comeback?
I believe.
Are you referring to Man of Mystery, or what was that called?
I don't know.
The Master of Disguise.
Master of Disguise.
Is the movie from 10 years ago.
Yeah, he has... I've seen him a couple times on late night shows, and I think he's...
Didn't he have a pilot? Didn't he have like
he had a sketch
pilot with some kind of reputable...
Spike Ferriston.
Yes.
He and Spike Ferriston had,
oh, really?
had a sketch pilot. Yeah.
And I think he's going to be hosting something soon.
Oh, really?
But I don't know.
Something. You don't know what?
I don't know what.
Rodeo?
Or I don't know if I'm allowed to say what it is.
Christmas party?
He's hosting a Christmas party.
He's hosting a parasite.
He's currently hosting a parasite.
A tapeworm.
But it's
in
a
his
super
stomach.
Exclusive parasite.
Wow.
So I'm not allowed to say who it is.
Yeah.
Used
to be Joaquin Phoenix's parasite.
Right.
It sounds like you're a real Hollywood insider, Nick.
I got the inside scoop. I read all the blogs.
Sure.
I read all the trades.
Sure.
I start all the rumors.
Sure.
I lie a lot.
I lie a ton, which makes me a qualified Hollywood insider. But I will say this about Oh Hello is John and I both, I say Oh Hello as almost all of my characters at some point. Now, not the way that the Oh Hello characters would say Oh Hello. If that makes sense. Not as my character Gil Faison would say.
Gil, now, how just to illustrate it for our audience, how would Gil Faison say, oh, hello?
Oh, hello. And then...
Oh, Nick, one time you said on a scale of one, on a scale of one to Alan Alda, it's an Elliot Gould.
Yeah, it's an 8.3.
That's the funniest thing anyone's ever said.
There is a fun. We have spent a lot of time figuring out that scale.
Because okay, in the world of these characters, mm-hmm. Alan Alda, or some saying something is Alan Alda like is the highest praise.
Alan Alda is the greatest human being to ever live.
Okay, sure.
According to Gil Faison and George St. Geigland,
or anyone and, with a head and, on their shoulders.
Yeah, and by the way, anyone with a head on their shoulders.
Alan Alda's awesome.
Alan Alda's awesome. He's doing. He just did a. David Wayne's Wanderlust movie with
Apatow's
producing, and I think he's doing this new Stiller movie,
and of course Scientific American Frontiers.
Yeah, I mean I've read his autobiography Never Have Your Dog Stuff twice. It's in the bathroom of my parents' house, so like when I'm home, it's the repeat reading, and he's done so many cool things. Like he was a theater actor. He came out of vaudeville. He's not Jewish, which was always just every time I read it, every time I'm home and I reread that autobiography, it surprises me.
That's the name of one of the chapters. I know it's surprising, but I'm not Jewish.
Yeah, I know. He's an Italian guy. Grew up in the world of vaudeville. His parents were both vaudeville actor and performers. And then he became an actor, and then he wrote 30-odd episodes of MASH. He directed
many of them, right?
Many, including the finale, I believe.
Man, Nick, okay, so you've given us the scoop on Dana Carvey. Mm-hmm. You've given us the scoop on Alan Alda. I don't know. What's up with Kelsey Grammer these days?
Well, he started Todd HD, which is a online streaming video. His wife is currently on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
What? Does he
appear? Kelsey Grammer's wife is on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Is this one of your famous lies?
No, this is not one of my famous lies. This is one of my little known lies.
Okay.
No, but this is not a lie.
Wow.
Kelsey Grammer's wife is on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I have watched the show on planes.
Sure.
And oftentimes
a popular place to watch Bravo programming.
Yeah, it is, right? Always on a plane and always on someone else's screen. I'm always watching someone else's screen. And she's on the show. And what I can glean from it is that she's always hoping that Kelsey will show up to something. And then he doesn't.
does he ever appear on the show?
He did appear on the show.
Wow.
Which should cause him great embarrassment.
Yeah, right. As a
scripted performer.
No. Yeah, right. But shouldn't it's like the women in Atlanta or DC or whatever, mm-hmm. But shouldn't Kelsey Grammer be savvy enough to know that when you're on one of these shows you're mocked? Or is that not widely
he has signed a deal with the devil with his wife that all the money in the world has not made her happy,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps allowing her some fame will bring her some joy / get hair out of his hair.
Sure.
Well, the thing is it was either...
Or what's left of it.
Yes.
The man's balding.
It was either let her have some fame or let her play with his pumas.
Right.
Mm. And the pumas are his thing.
The pumas are his.
Isn't he...
Does he have pumas?
I think at one point he was famous, like early in his career, in the beginning of his success, for having pumas and being a crazy cokehead.
Yes.
Walking the pumas down the beach in Malibu on a chain or something
doing,
like that.
Doing coke with the pumas.
Off of a puma.
You know what's weird?
Who's trying to kill
pumas
you?
Do uncut shit, too.
Yeah, when you do coke with pumas, they don't get rowdy. They actually chill out.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know why, but they're...
Super... Biology, that's why.
I guess so.
What happens when you do lewds with a jackal?
They weirdly get really touchy.
Oh, interesting.
Not like violent touchy, like weird touchy, where you're like, we're friends.
They just want to like hug a lot.
Yeah, they hug. It's like weird. They have ecstasy effects on them when they do.
I feel like you know everything about Hollywood.
I am the foremost expert in this room on what I say about Hollywood.
I kind of feel like, look, I wasn't planning to trot this out so early in the show, but as we learned last week, I'm, of course, known as a Hollywood insider.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and Nick has officially made this a pissing contest, so what do you got? Whip it out, Thorne.
I do have one big gun to pull out here.
Sure.
Do it.
It concerns one of the biggest stars in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I currently, in some plastic bags that you will see over in the corner of this studio.
I spy them.
Have 5 pairs of Dr. Phil's shoes.
Wow. How does that happen? How does one...
He's a 12D.
Okay.
They're Allen Edmonds. It's a solid shoe.
Uh-huh.
He didn't choose my favorite Allen Edmonds models, but it's a good shoe.
Did he send them to you?
Well, he didn't send them directly to me. Were you suggesting that maybe I wrote him a letter and asked if I could have a few pairs of his shoes?
Dear asshole, send me your shoes. Love,
Dr.
Jesse.
Phil.
We are the same size.
You're a 12D?
I'm a 12D. Well,
what does a D mean?
Look, I'm not going to lie to you, Nick. I'm more of a 12B or C.
Okay.
I got a narrow foot.
You can stuff them and make them look like a D?
Yeah, absolutely. Just put a cucumber in there.
So what is, by the way, I don't know with...
The A, B, C, D, E, mm-hmm. you're talking about width.
Right.
So D is medium width, and then E, double E, triple E is wide widths, and then C, B, A is narrow widths.
And what kind of shoe does one need to wear to know such things?
A dress shoe, but also some like New Balance, they'll sell at least a wide sneaker.
Okay.
But generally, sneakers are just one medium width.
I'm wearing a Nike. This is a Nike sneaker.
That's a nice Nike sneaker.
This is my workout Nike sneaker, but I wore it out today under the guise that maybe a hike would happen, and it didn't.
So you're looking at what, a medium width?
I have no idea. I assume...
I think you're looking at a medium width.
All of my proportions are medium.
Right.
Including...
Right.
You know.
Oh, yeah. The old medium dick. Okay, so Nick, you were thinking to yourself that you may hike today. So you wore these shoes.
Yeah.
Can we get back to Dr. Phil's shoes?
Hold on.
Okay.
By the way,
I have a doubt. This is also clothes related.
Okay.
But you're wearing like slacks and then a sweater.
I'm wearing a red pant.
A red pant.
Is this a pant?
At a Nantucket red, I'd characterize it as.
I think it will over time fade into a Nantucket red.
Right.
Which is really a pink.
Under this kind of
fair enough
sensible fall outfit, do you have hiking shorts? Or were you prepared to hike fall outfit?
I have a short in my car.
Okay.
A pair short.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Why is it a pair of shorts? Do you know the answer to these questions? You seem to be...
It's two legs.
Okay.
Done.
A pair of pants.
Solved.
So one pant is one leg worth of pant.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Why not?
Depends what hemisphere you're in.
Okay.
You got one dungaree.
Yeah.
You're talking about one leg.
Okay.
You got some dungarees.
You got a pair of dungarees.
Yeah.
And is there a difference between a dungaree and a jean?
I think a dungaree and a jean are the same.
Okay, it's just how much you're talking to your mother that week.
I think, but somebody's gonna email in to correct me. But I will point out that they will have looked it up on the internet.
You know what? Let them.
Okay.
Let them do
it. I will. I'll let them.
Yeah.
Do you think moms still pronounce Mario Mario?
Yeah,
Mario. Are you playing the Mario Brothers?
Yeah, I mean it's like there. You know, as many Mario games are being produced now as they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
at the
height of his popularity, does the modern mom still say Mario?
By the way, the modern mom is our sister at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
For me,
true.
At least, the modern mom is like my sister. Yeah. Literally.
I don't have a sister, so in my case, it's my brother.
Right. Who dresses like a woman?
Yeah. He lives as a woman. He hasn't been biologically, but he has given birth to a child.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
My brother's wife just gave birth 2 days ago.
That must be really exciting. Let's talk about Dr. Phil's shoes.
I really expected more out of me saying that I had five pairs of Dr. Phil's shoes. Don't underestimate my excitement and interest in this, but I do believe that you pulled out your gun.
Right.
And then this is going to be a nice... slow simmer throughout the show that we're going to learn more about Dr. Phil's shoes. Do you want to blow all of... Can I ask you a question about it? I'm not going to blow it all,
yeah, but
Jesse,
you can ask me a question.
In Mad Men, they didn't just explain all of Don Draper's backstory in one episode. They're doling it out over the various seasons. That's the classy way to do it.
But I do like that you are going to have to carry the secret of having Dr. Phil's shoes over many years to come.
And there's going to be a lot of tension. Will people find out?
And those
that
who
these
you
are
share it
Dr.
with
sure.
will both be a sign of great trust.
I'm actually... Did you read my book? I'm working on a fantasy novel, The Secret of Dr. Phil's Shoes.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like a young adult fantasy novel. It's like fill the void adult. for Harry Potter.
It's like a young adult thing, but it's not just for kids.
Sure.
Is how I would describe it. Not just for kids.
It's also for older psychopaths.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, so can I ask...
it's for kids and shameless people. How did you
procure Dr. Phil's shoes?
I went shopping.
Okay.
There was a display.
Uh-huh.
I took what action needed to be taken.
Okay, so you are not actually wearing those are not actual shoes that have been slipped onto the feet, the mustached feet of Dr. Phil.
What would lead you to believe that they hadn't been on Dr. Phil's feet?
So someone was advertising.
Nick, wake up. I said these aren't Dr. Phil endorsed shoes. This isn't like Dr. J's shoes.
When you say display at a store, do you mean garbage can behind Dr. Phil's house?
Well, technically, I mean shoe rack in Dr. Phil's bedroom, but...
Oh, sure.
How were they purchased?
I went this weekend. I enjoy thrift store shopping.
As we all do.
I went this weekend to a gala thrift store event. Mm. One of my favorite thrift stores has converted its merchandising model to a seasonal merchandising model. Mm-hmm. So four times a year or something, they put out all new merchandise and they have a gala event and you have to stand outside and wait to get in. And they give you a card with a number on it. And you have to wait 4 hours, whatever. Sure. Not 4 hours, 2 hours. And I went in there and
like Japanese kids with Nikes.
Exactly. Precisely. Mm-hmm. Only it's sort of shifty looking middle-aged women who are looking for porcelain that they can sell on eBay.
Okay.
So I went out there to do this. And luckily, obviously I was there, maybe not obviously, but I was interested in buying clothes there. And the good news is that the crowd that shows up to pick up a number at the thrift store at 6:30 in the a.m., not a well-dressed crowd, not interested in purchasing clothes. Mm-hmm. And so I got a decent number, not a great number, but I got in there. I was pretty much had first crack at the men's clothes.
Although, Jesse,
yeah,
I will say that maybe while the 6:30 a.m. thrift store crowd, not that fashionable, probably the crowd that's most interested in Dr. Phil memorabilia.
That's true.
So I'm surprised you didn't get fucked on this.
I mean, they're people with holes in their emotional lives, yes.
Okay.
Holes that can be filled by that famous stash.
Who scooped up Dr. Oz's used condoms?
There was a rack of Dr. Phil's clothes as well. I didn't buy any of Dr. Phil's clothes.
Did he like donate them for charity? Is that the idea?
Apparently, he is a big fan of this particular thrift store. They did a segment about this thrift store on Dr. Phil in an episode about scrimping and saving.
Hmm. Scrimping is not eating shrimp.
That's correct. Mm. And
nor is it when a sailor carves a scene in a piece of ivory.
Is that what another word? Is that another use for
that's
the word scrimping?
Scrimshaw. That's called crumping or crumping. Clown dancing.
Okay, that makes sense.
So there was just a rack that said Dr. Phil's suits. But
you didn't get an authenticity certificate for these.
No, but they did have, there were shirts there that had Dr. Phil's monogram on them.
And there was confirmed cum stains from Oprah.
Right. Right.
Oprah's
absolutely.
Female cum.
Yeah.
Oprah had cum on the thing. They had a DNA guy there, like a CSI situation.
Yeah. Oprah ejaculate.
But the shoes were my size.
Great.
So I bought 5 pairs of Dr. Phil's shoes, and then I promptly sold them on the internet. But the question was, I wasn't sure whether to advertise, because they're fine quality shoes and worth twice what I paid for them, even secondhand. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't sure whether to sell them as belonging to Dr. Phil.
Because
you feel like, it seems like maybe you would lose as many potential customers as you would gain by...
It feels like you're opening a whole can of worms there. Because it's like, okay, how do we know they're Dr. Phil's? Is there authenticity? Like someone buying it off the internet is going to want... Because like I could be like, yeah, these are... You know, this is Harvey Keitel's dungarees. You know what I mean? And they're like, how do I know it's Harvey Keitel? I said, well, look at how short those legs are.
And I would call those jeans rather than dungarees.
Harvey would.
Yeah. That's how Harv does it.
That's how Sklarvy Keitel does it.
That's a callback to the Sklar Brothers podcast, which, of course, is hosted by the Sklar Brothers.
Yeah.
And thus makes that pun make sense.
I wish the Sklar Brothers podcast was hosted by the Wayans Brothers. Do bigger numbers at the box office.
It would.
It'd be more in your face, too.
Yeah, I think so.
It'd be outrageous. Certainly outrageous.
And it'd feature more characters that are horrible to look at because of some weird makeup or CGI.
Yeah. Do you think that it's more? Do you think that a quality shoe is more or less valuable when it's attached to the Dr. Phil legacy?
It is a legacy.
These are lightly worn shoes, so you're not going to get any of that kind of used underpants sniffing from the beautiful women, of course, that love Dr. Phil.
The not obese women who would be interested in sniffing the underwear of Dr. Phil.
Exactly.
I do picture, by the way, all of Dr. Phil's various body parts having tiny mustaches. Literally.
Do you feel like maybe Jeffrey Tambor shaved his mustache when Dr. Phil got famous because he was sick of people thinking that he was Dr. Phil?
It's very possible. It's very possible. Or he just covers the mustache with a fake skin.
He's like, I am accomplished character actor Jeffrey Tambor.
Dr. Phil is a famous boob.
And I wonder, though, do they really look that much alike, or is it just tall, bald men?
Like when Jeffrey Tambor goes in to audition for Secretariat, you know what I mean? Like for the role of gambling tout.
Of course.
Or like horse owner.
Yeah, as
Do you think there's three casting people who are there who are like, great, we got esteemed character actor Jeffrey Tambor from Arrested Development, from the Larry Sanders Show, from Hellboy, to come in here and audition for our thing. And then there's one casting person who's like, Dr. Phil shaved his mustache?
He's making the crossover, huh? Well, you know
he's acting now?
This is great because we got that scene where Secretariat has a family member who's got an eating problem, and maybe
we've got that scene with the big test reveal.
Have you sat through a whole episode of Dr. Phil?
I sat through an episode of The Doctors once.
How was that?
I was on an episode of The Doctors.
Excuse me?
A Doctors clip show where they called in comedians to riff on some of the funniest moments in the history of The Doctors.
As Nick Kroll is to the VH1 network.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So
I
Jordan
am to
Morris
syndicated
is
medical advice programs.
We've all, God, did they pay you for it?
They did, yeah.
That's nice.
And pretty good, too. I mean, I've heard that these green screen riff sessions are kind of maybe not even worth doing.
I believe they're now airing stuff that I shot in like 2004 when I was just like desperate to be captured in two-dimensional form.
At the time, you were Nick Kroll from I Love the 30s.
Yes.
My biggest
credit was a internet parody video of those exact shows. But yeah, I don't know if I had any. I don't think I had. It was just actor comedian or comedian Nick Kroll. But it was, I was so desperate to be. Well, I Love the 80s. When I remember that when I Love the 80s came out, it was really this weirdly, it's not cathartic, but it was like this is, it felt really on point for like where we were as a culture. And and then they had all the spinoffs. And that what was amazing is that your average person would see me and be like, hey, man, I saw you. Or like, I just saw you on that I Love the 80s, you know? And it was like, I was like, no, I was on awesomely bad metal songs. But your average person could care less about differentiating. Like, they'd watch you and be like, oh, I saw you on I Love the 80s.
You know, no. The one about the syndicated medical advice show, The Doctors.
Sure. But yeah, it's like, that's a whole genre of TV now. Like every cable network has their version
so
of that show.
Cheap to make. It is so cheap to make. Sure. They didn't pay me. They would call me
they
in.
They didn't pay you?
Not until I got on
Not
Best
at
Week
all?
Ever. Not until I got on Best Week Ever did I get paid for.
Wow.
But it was, you know, for me,
not
I was,
even $250.
Not even.
I think people usually
not
you
a
get
cent.
Paid a bullshit wage like $200.
Not a cent. Because it was, I think, under the qualification of news or something like that. And it was very newsworthy news. Stuff. Talking about
Rubik's
know,
cubes.
I wish. I was talking about like Color Me Bad.
Mm.
You know,
Tiffany.
Yeah.
Cross colors.
Oh, I wish. You're talking about cultural events. I'm talking about, you know, like, you know, I'm trying to think of the worst song that I had to talk about.
Were you going in and writing? Were you writing material in advance for these things?
I at first would write some material. I had a couple jokes for each. You know, they give you 50 songs. You're basically writing jokes about 50 songs. And then I realized that my skill set lay less in writing jokes and more just showing up and fucking around. And they would usually find something and they're useful.
They did not pay you.
They did not pay me a cent like to write.
They owe you a little
write
something.
Or, you know.
You're a big part of the success of Awesomely Awful.
I am the most important.
You're the linchpin. Yeah. You're the Hollywood insider.
I am a Hollywood insider.
How would they know what variety speak is if it weren't for you having been there at those recording sessions?
I didn't know. I wasn't a Hollywood insider at that point.
They would have thought a Prexy
was going to boffo the ankle.
Wait, is that in New York? Were you in New York then?
I was in New York.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to, and we all did it. You know, and I mean, look, a lot of people in show business do a lot of stuff for free, like this podcast currently. And I'm getting paid for this one, though, right?
No.
I mean, I'll slip you a little something when we get out of the room.
I'll suck your dick.
Okay. Well.
Hey.
So
I'm going to give you some money.
This worked out.
Jesse's going to suck your D.
Wait, you know what's interesting is I'm not very good at confrontation, and I was at a hotel in Boston. I was doing a show there.
This lady had just sucked your dick.
She had just sucked my dick.
But she did a bad job.
I was like, what I need you to do is, this is, I don't know why, but please put Alka-Seltzer in some water, drink the Alka-Seltzer, hold it in your mouth, and then S my D. And for whatever reason, the bubbles sort of go up into my urethra, and that's the only way.
I can't explain it scientifically,
but it is science. Mm-hmm. That is the only way I can blow.
Hey, plop, plop, fizz, fizz, my friend.
As they say.
Go ahead and eat my jizz. So anyway,
Oh, that rhymes.
I don't know why I thought this would not be it. I did not, in my head, think that this would be a jizz-based podcast.
Yeah.
But here we are. But I was at a hotel. I will disclose the name because I want to. I was at the Westin. Have you guys ever stayed at a Westin?
Talking about the Westin.
Yeah, I like a Westin. I don't know if this story is going to defame Westin.
There must have been some conference there. I spent so much money on a hotel room. I spent $500 on a hotel room, which if you're like, hey, sweetheart, it's our anniversary. Let's go stay at a nice hotel. We deserve it. Like $500. It's a lot of money for a hotel.
Right. You wanted to pay $250.
I wanted to pay.
And
like,
it's really nice.
Yeah.
$200.
I wanted to spend like two. If I spend $200, because I'm just at a point where you go on the road and like, I just can't. I spend so much. When you're on the road, you spend so much time in your hotel room. I can't, for my mind, stay in I'm going to stay in a Holiday Inn by the, you know,
airport.
I desperately want to commit suicide today. So we stay at the Westin, but there was some conference in Boston. Every hotel room was taken, and so it was like $500. And the hotel was not in great shape. The elevator took forever. There was like a conference there. I get to my room. The wallpaper is slightly peeling. The wood with the lamp was worn. And I get my bill in the morning, and with taxes and everything, it was $600. And I was just like, I can't believe how expensive this was. So I go down to the desk, and I say, like, look, no one treated me wrong here. I was not ill-treated. Just my room was kind of crappy. The elevator didn't work great. I just can't imagine why this cost me in the end $600. And so the woman was like talking to me, and then she looked over at like the manager, and the manager sort of came over and said, I'm sorry, we're about to do renovations. And he nodded at the other woman, and the woman said, so we'd like to comp your room for you. And I was shocked. I have never, because I don't like confrontation. I don't complain because I'm like, I'd rather pay money than deal with.
Sure, than have a weird feeling in your brain.
Exactly. Sure. So, and then they comped my room entirely. And it was like, it set such a bad precedent for me of like, oh, I should be complaining more often.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Why did I just tell that story?
How much money did you lose gambling, though? Because that's where they get you.
Oh,
they get you in the room, mm-hmm. and then they want you out on
room,
the tables.
Buffet, yeah. brunch.
I dropped
historical
about,
tours, of course.
I dropped about $3,000 in Boston gambling in,
right.
in Chinatown.
Right.
Playing Mahjong.
Plus 25 bucks for the duck tour.
Yeah. Yes.
And 45 bucks for those pants.
These pants.
It's a New England pant.
These pants cost me 45 bucks, but they've made me almost $2,000.
Wow.
Do you want to know how?
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
I murdered a guy.
Right.
Got blood all over the pants.
Okay.
Right.
But because they're red, nobody saw the blood.
Oh, and the bail from prison for a murder is $2,000.
For me, currently, it's $2,000 because I'm not a flight risk.
Huh.
Right.
So there you go.
Those are an investment then.
They are an investment in my criminal enterprise.
We'll be back in
specifically murder.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And Nick Kroll is here with us.
And I'm Nick Kroll.
It's a pleasure to have you here, Nick Kroll.
Oh, thanks for having
Nick,
me.
Nick, look, I'm going to be honest with you. You're a great guest. I enjoy watching the league.
Thank you.
I enjoy your crazy characters.
I appreciate it.
I already credited you with saying the funniest thing that anyone's ever said.
You were correct in that.
But we do have a more important guest
on
this week's program.
I totally agree.
I want to...
Ladies and gentlemen, Kelsey Grammer.
Jordan.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kelsey Grammer's pumas.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, no. Get him off.
Nick, can we take a second to talk to Kelsey Grammer's pumas?
From your one-man show, right?
So our guest here, his name, he's joining us via telephone from a secret location. His name is Nate. Nate, welcome to Jordan Jesse Go.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's great to have you on the program. Tell me, you don't have to give me your address or anything, but where are you?
I'm in North Carolina.
Beautiful North. I hear that's a beautiful state.
It is, yeah. Very warm.
So, Nate, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Is there a lady in your life?
There is indeed.
Really? What's her name?
Her name's Jenny.
Tell me a little bit about her. Where'd you meet Jenny?
I met Jenny about 7 years ago. When we were both teaching at what is like basically a summer camp for dorks, for gifted children whose parents send them away, and we were teaching the little children, and so we met at that camp. We were both teachers.
What were you teaching?
I was teaching like junior class on pharmacology.
Wow. Yeah, I teach a little junior class on pharmacology out behind the high school most afternoons. Yeah. Jordan?
That's actually exactly what I was going to ask. What were you teaching and what was she teaching? I assumed you guys had specialties at this camp.
She was she was teaching the younger kids, and she was teaching them the class sort of on the senses.
Oh, the senses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what various pharmaceuticals do to those senses. You guys were at some sort of weird Timothy Leary drug camp.
It was, yeah.
Nate, do you remember like actually when you first met her, like what your impressions of her were when you first met her?
Yeah, actually I remember when I first met her, it was really strange because I felt extremely comfortable. I felt like I had known her for years, and it was like oddly comfortable talking to her.
Did you ask her out right away?
Not right away. I set up like a little like a group social event.
What was the event?
We watched a movie, and I didn't know what the movie was going to be. It turned out to be like really gory, horrible, not a romantic movie at all.
Wait. So just as a camp counselor, you had the ability to kind of organize movie nights, or was this counselors only? Were the kids there? I mean, I'm guessing because it was gory, there were no kids there, but this was like a counselors only situation?
That's right. The counselors who did the teaching where it didn't have to deal with the kids outside of class at all. And there were special counselors who dealt with the kids, like, socially outside.
Okay.
So when did you first ask her out for real?
Probably like the next few days after the movie night. I had like a move planned where I had this was at a college they were teaching this, and I had the keys to the roof of the science building where they had like an observatory kind of thing.
Nice.
So that was part of my plan, was that at the end of like taking her out for dinner, I'd go up to the top of this roof of the observatory and
that show was, her the monster you'd made for her. How long have you two been together?
I guess it's probably been like 6 years now.
Wow, that's a long time. Hey, yeah. Hey, listen, I was wondering if there was anything that you'd like. I know the two of you are both fans of Jordan Jesse Go, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Regular listeners without fail?
Absolutely.
I should hope so, given what's about to happen next. Do you have anything you'd like to say to Jenny?
Yeah, I'd like to say that, Jenny, I love you very much, and I'd like to spend the rest of my life with you, and so I would like to ask you to marry me.
Yes!
Oh, this is so exciting!
What did she say?
I don't know, this is recorded and played back later.
Are you going to listen with her, or how are you going
to
do it?
Listen to this week's episode of Comedy Death Ray for her answer.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it'll be kind of funny to wait and see when she hears it.
You guys don't have, like, date night to listen to the show.
No, we haven't listened to it, like, our own schedule, so
sure.
I'm just going to kind of wait for this to hit.
And you have promised, I should say, that you emailed Teresa, our development director, to ask her if we could do this. Of course, the answer was an emphatic yes. And you promised, the thing that we wanted you to promise was that you would give us the results on next week's show. And you're willing to accept that responsibility?
Absolutely.
She's probably going to say no. You know that, right?
After this, yeah.
Because of the super dorky way you asked her.
Yeah.
How did you choose this over, say, a hot air balloon or a gondola in a casino? Or in Italy, I guess.
Yeah. Well, she's very diehard. She actually called in a couple weeks ago. She was on the show, actually a month ago now, for having a donk kick another donk.
Oh, yeah. A donk's a miniature donkey, Nick. Just so you know.
A little burrito.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Oh.
My first choice, way to go.
So, Nate, how do you feel now that you've popped the question, but without actually knowing the answer?
I feel great. There's less confrontation this way. Yeah.
Do you have a ring already picked out?
I do, yes.
What are we looking at? Show me the ring. Let me see the ring.
The ring, the stone's actually going to come from her grandmother and great grandmother.
Oh.
And then I got a different band for it.
You know what's interesting to me is like the question will happen.
Right.
She will scream.
Right.
As women do.
Right.
And then she will call or go to
She'll
him.
Fall off the Stairmaster.
Right. and will all of this be listened to?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question.
So this, what we're saying, is probably, you know, being obstructed by screams.
So tell your
is there something shitty about her that
future
you wanna...
fiance to shut her goddamn trap.
Well, I mean, all I can say, Nate, is that we are just incredibly honored that you chose our show as the venue for this, and it is our absolutely sincere hope that not only Jenny says yes, but the two of you share a really wonderful life together.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Nate. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Nick Kroll, licensed photographer.
He does have a photography license. He showed it to me. I ask that people show me a license before we do the program.
Do people always after a little while of the show, does everybody always then throw in their little...
Yeah, throw in anything. It's fun. Right. I mean, when else do you get to do something like that?
You know, all the time.
Yeah. That's fair.
But not with you guys.
Hey, guess what? We got this box of shit, and I...
It's literal someone's human feces.
So you called the police.
Okay.
You have a weird stalker.
I want you to know there's a white board here with magnets and there's checks on it. I'm trying not to look at those checks.
There's a check for $15.
I know.
So
I couldn't tell if it was 15 or 150 from my where I am.
15, my friend. Okay, let's open up the Jordan Jesse Go mailbag, shall we?
Sure.
Jordan, here's a Christmas card. Thanks to Casey from Galveston, Texas.
Sure.
Who,
this is actually my first Christmas card of the season.
Yeah. Okay. But it was mine, too. Casey
this one's addressed personally to me, too.
Yeah. Casey was kind enough to send one to Teresa and myself as well. Yeah. Very thoughtful. I think Casey, if I remember correctly, Casey is a lady.
Sure.
So thank you to Casey for sending us that Christmas card.
Do men ever send cards?
I don't think so. I certainly beg
They're too busy at the monster truck rally. Woo, 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 woo.
Now, this is an interesting one. Apparently... I only vaguely remember this, but to be frank, I only vaguely remember anything that happens on this program. Mm-hmm. Apparently, at some point, we were talking about Boy Scout popcorn.
Mm, yes.
Which is the alternative to Girl Scout cookies. And I got this giant box in the mail the other day.
Boy Scout popcorn sounds like a gay sexual position.
Absolutely. Or like a gay club. Like there's a nightclub that has a night that's called
Boy Scout popcorn.
I came with this letter inside a giant bag of Boy Scout popcorn. I don't know if this stuff comes in small bags, but this was a monstrous bag.
That is, by the way, the tagline to Boy Scout popcorn.
Right. That is a monstrous bag.
Yeah, no, this stuff comes in small bags.
In a recent Jordan Jesse Go episode, the topic of Boy Scout popcorn came up, and I thought you guys should try some. I tried it, by the way. It's delicious.
Okay.
It's caramel corn, mm-hmm. But a very nice, high-quality caramel corn, mm-hmm. And it also has three different types of nuts. Since the national headquarters of the Boy Scouts of America is in Texas, I guess you could also consider this a food item sent in honor of the San Francisco Giants World Series victory. Mm. Now, I should point out that this guy is in New Jersey. His name is Don Schaffner, PhD.
Also sounds like a weird gay porno event.
Yeah. Don Schaffner,
PhD.
And so this is not technically... this is not technically a gift. When the Giants won the World Series, we suggested that perhaps listeners, since I'm a San Francisco Giants supporter, listeners who lived in Texas, home of the Texas Rangers, should send me a mayor-to-mayor style wager gift.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Don was very nice to send us this stuff. It had this PS on it.
Mm-hmm.
And this,
hope you choke and die. Rot in hell.
This was the most striking part of this letter to me. P.S. Food-related questions seem to come up on Jordan Jesse Go from time to time. I will interject here, as they do in life. Right? Sure. It's one of the key elements of life.
How's that pasta?
There's an example right there.
It just came up. Since I have a PhD in food science,
whoa,
I'd be happy to be your... Now, this is in quotes, go-to guy for any food-related questions.
Now, Jordan, Jesse, go-to.
This is not a thoughtful, kind, no-strings-attached gift. This guy wants to be the Dr. Oz of food science.
Like the kind of no-strings-attached gift you get at Boy Scout popcorn every Wednesday night in West Hollywood.
But unless you want strings attached.
Yeah, this is...
Attach a string to my balls.
This is, I don't know, I'm trying to imagine the situation in which we would need a go-to guy For food science, frankly, I think even our second choice would be okay if we need it.
Well, there, I don't know what's happening. I got a Kickstarter.com, you know, Kickstarter. Sure. So I got a request from a friend of a friend who's doing a documentary about...
Kickstarter projects.
Yeah, that would be amazing. About the spice trade. No, the I'm sorry, the Marco Polo had did this the spice, you know, route.
Sure.
These guys are... canoeing down the Meadowlands River,
right?
The Meadowlands,
just as Marco Polo
on the spice to do.
And along the way, they're playing Marco Polo, the popular pool game,
the whole way. No, they are going to be. They're going on a tour of the spice trade, meaning all of the where the factories that make food. I'm really blowing this, guys.
Flavorings?
Yes.
Cumin.
Artificial flavoring. The cumin. Artificial. The artificial flavoring factories.
Gunpowder?
Yeah.
Spaghetti.
These are all food-related questions.
It's a good point.
But maybe this guy works at one of those factories.
It's possible. Well, he has, I have to say, he signed his name, sincerely, your fan, Don, and then underneath it, Donald W. Schaffner, PhD, and then under that, professor.
It's a busy guy.
Yeah, right?
So I'm putting together from him having put professor there... the fact that he lives in New Jersey and that his email address is a Rutgers email address, that perhaps he is a professor at Rutgers.
Okay.
Which, granted, is an esteemed university, the kind of university where you would expect the faculty to know that they're not going to get into show business by sending somebody Boy Scout popcorn.
Is there such a thing as Boy Scout popcorn?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we take a handful?
Well, do you want me to go get it?
No. Oh, I thought it was in, I thought it was in that box.
No,
I was having a discussion yesterday because about what you referred to, which I knew growing up was Crunch and Munch.
Sure,
sure. Fiddle Faddle,
Fiddle Faddle, or Poppycock.
Mm,
these are all names.
These are all. And let's get real for a second here. The stuff is great.
Yeah.
It's a great snack treat.
Well, I feel like kettle corn has grown in popularity in recent years. And I've seen it has become more ubiquitous.
That's true, especially at farmers markets.
Yes.
And it's moved from farmers markets to state fairs.
Yes.
Well, actually, and I have seen kettle corn at a lot of, you know, kind of mainstream-y type events.
Yes.
The example I will give is Warped Tour.
Really?
A lot of kettle corn at Warped Tour, and they sold it in these giant wind socks that people had slung over their shoulders like an old-time World War II soldier's knapsack.
Yeah.
Like, they sell them
They're going to war against being normal.
Yeah, right. So you're fucking salty popcorn.
Freak out my mom and dad.
Well, it is perfect for like getting baked at a concert because you get a little sweet, you get a little salty, get a little crunch.
Sure.
It's not a heavy carry. Mm-hmm. It's not going to melt.
Yeah. I would ask people to consider brewer's yeast.
That's a different gay night, right?
Something exactly. We got a box from the Wallace family of Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
This box contained a letter. This is what the letter says.
From Rasheed Wallace's family?
It is. Greetings from Houston. This is from Shannon Wallace. Enclosed, you will find a random selection, hopefully not literally random, of Texas trinkets. I hope there's something that each of you will enjoy.
I was just really scanning that for the gay nightclub illusion, but couldn't find
anything. Let's take some paper out.
Wait, you don't think random selection is a night of
gay night somewhere? Yep. You know what? It is.
Let's see. We got an anti George W. Bush. We got some different anti George W. Bush materials.
Okay.
So they're the one liberal family in Houston.
Yeah,
they are. We have a doggy dana or dog bandana.
Can I have that?
Yes.
Oh, no, you have
that
dogs.
One's for you. No, that one's for you.
Thank you.
Jesse. My dogs will enjoy these Texas Toothpicks brand dog chews.
I've eaten dog food twice.
I used to eat dog food all the time when I was little.
Really?
When I was like 4 or 5 years old.
I
don't know why I did, but
I did it in my late 20s, early 30s.
Why'd you do that?
One time was at Oh Hello.
Me
and Melanie, we would always
I understand why.
We would make drinks like the tunatini.
Right.
The tuna based martini. And then we had to keep heightening it and we finally made a dogatini. And that was a martini with snossages.
Wow.
And I ate a snossage.
How was it?
Gristly. like sandy, and then oh, you're like, oh, it's not bad, and then you're like, oh no, that's just animal bone that I'm eating.
Right.
But wait, so was the it was just imagining what was in the sausage that was unpleasant. It wasn't actually the
no,
taste.
It was the physical, and then I ate a pepperoni.
Ah.
Entirely, and I vomited.
Here is a catnip cat toy. I'm going to guess that's for your cat bug.
I'll take it.
That's for Jordan's cat bug. This is an exhaustive selection. I would like to thank a kind woman who was nice enough to send us some more tasty cakes recently.
Ooh,
she said she hadn't.
Tasty cakes.
She was unable to support us with a donation, but she was glad she could send us some tasty cakes. I want to be clear. Send us a donation, not tasty cakes. She was thinking about signing us up for some kind of tasty cake subscription. I don't need that.
No.
$2 a month is the lowest donation level.
Call our cash.
You don't have to buy that many tasty cakes to make up for $2 a month, right?
It's like gift certificates.
Okay.
So give me the cash.
Sure.
Okay, we got a... what are we looking at here? I think this is some kind of... this is some kind of lovely hand towel.
Hmm.
This is nice. I'm keeping the hand towel.
Cat studio, dish towel,
this is
hand
lovely.
Towel.
Look at this pretty, look at this nice dish towel. It's Texas-themed dish towel. Man alive, she really went all out on this situation. Oh, Texas Monthly. That's for you, Nick.
This is actually great because I always wonder what it would be like to go into a doctor's office in Texas, and now I know
sure.
what they would be reading.
Yeah.
Texas
Absolutely.
Monthly, the 50 best Mexican restaurants.
I've got a Texas bomb. Bomb! I'm kidding.
You got something.
I want to read the article.
I handed you something heavy.
I'm going to read the article in the Amarillo YouTube Star.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, actually.
Wait, there's a YouTube Star from Texas? The second most populous state in the union?
Yeah, there's also a list of Texas super doctors. So far.
What did you get over there, Jordan?
This is a Tyler Candle Company candle. Bougie Parfum perfumed candle.
That's for you, my friend.
Thank you.
I like that. I know you love leopard print.
I do.
And it's got a leopard print top there.
Mm-hmm.
You know who loves Puma print? Weirdly, Tyler Perry. Just
really?
Off topic.
Yeah. Wait.
He's great.
Okay, here we go. We got something here. Oh, this looks like it might be some kind of treat. Oh, glazed pecans, the sweet taste of Texas.
Used to work in the candy department at Bloomingdale's in high school.
Wait, there's a candy department at Bloomingdale's?
Yeah. It was next to the towel department.
Okay.
It was not the most successful of all the departments.
Were the girls at the towel department cute? I would
there
imagine
a,
that
there
as
was
a young...
hot girl in the towel department.
Yeah.
The 70-year-old women who worked in the candy department were not as attractive. And we sold like Godiva chocolates, and that would get white on them. You know, as chocolates get older, sure. they develop white. But our big seller was the Meshuggah Nut. And that was a cinnamon coated pecan.
Oh, that sounds tasty.
It was.
And fun.
Super fun.
Certainly for the chosen people, it's a lot of fun.
You know, it was a great way for me to pick up 80-year-old Jewish women.
It's a way to celebrate your heritage.
Yeah.
And enjoy a candied nut.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is the name of the Jewish-themed gay club.
Sure.
It's called Meshuggah Nuts.
We got some praline cookies in here.
I thought it was a Jewish improv group.
It is.
Some kind of some
it's
nice
both.
It's both
praline,
it's a gay
pecan
club that
treat.
Has an improv
yeah.
portion.
Jiminy, there's way too much stuff in here. It's
now,
very
you guys,
kind.
Now, you guys eat food that people send you.
Sure. Why not? Eat that shit. What's the worst thing that could happen?
Poison.
What's the worst thing that can happen, Nick?
They could poison you.
Seriously, Nick. What's the worst thing that could happen?
They could poison you dead.
Nick, I'm giving you these Longhorns, pecans, and caramel and rich... Is a pecan a Texas nut?
Well, I mean, like pecan pie,
I'm opening these now.
Do it.
Jordan, didn't you get a really awesome, didn't you really love a listener sent in some bacon hot sauce?
God damn. Okay, whoever sent in that bacon hot sauce.
It was the people from Bacon Hot Sauce.
Oh, wow. Well,
we initially didn't talk about it because we don't like people trying to trick us into plugging their products.
Well, hey, I have strong brand loyalty to it now.
So what does that mean? I mean, is it hot sauce for bacon or is it hot sauce that has been made from bacon?
If flavored like bacon. I don't know if there's, I'm going to have one of these Longhorns. There are only two in this package. No, it is. It has like kind of a bacon flavor to it,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, I basically everything I've been eating for the last month that I've made myself has been drenched in that, it's delicious. So way to go, guys.
Speaking of hot sauce, here's a nice special edition hot sauce for you, Jordan.
Okay.
And she was kind enough to send us 1, 2, 3 University of Texas t-shirts. I actually worked at high school. When I was in high school, I worked at Macy's. Mm-hmm. And my boss...
I worked at Nordstrom. By the way, we have a little department store club here.
Yeah. My boss, Samuel, was, I guesstimate his age at 32. I was 18. Hit on me constantly, just unceasingly. And then the other thing he did when he wasn't hitting on me... was say hook 'em horns, which is the Texas official Longhorns. Saying of the University of Texas Longhorns.
It's also a great gay club.
Yeah, it is. Anyway.
So when you look at these University of Texas shirts that she sent, you think gay advance, unwanted, pedophilic. Yeah.
No, I sincerely still associate the University of Texas Longhorns with an unwanted gay advance by a superior, by my boss. I mean, it was creepy that he kept hitting on me because I was.
Were you like on the verge of 18 or were you like 15?
I was 18. Summer after my senior year of high school.
I apologize for saying it was pedophilic earlier. And I apologize for making up that word.
Yeah, it was not a pedophile situation. It was legal, but barely legal.
Right.
I was out as a straight guy.
You were out at that point?
I had my wife now was my girlfriend then.
Really?
And
you were telling, before you were 18, you were telling everybody, this is my beard.
I think he just figured there's no way I could not be gay.
Because of your...
just general gayness.
Your affinity for Pendletons and turtleneck sweaters?
Yeah, just a general... Yeah, well, the turtlenecks more than the Pendletons, to be frank. Nick just poured some... The man who just put us down for eating food that was sent to us just poured some hot sauce in his hand and lapped it up like a kitty cat.
I didn't...
It was sealed.
I'm all about seal.
Right.
He's great. He is great.
He is wonderful. Remember those hit songs he had 15 years ago?
Yeah.
He's still famous now, anyway.
The world famous model that he continues to put his children in. like an oven.
Well, thank you to everyone who sent us these wonderful things. There's no need to send us any more Texas-related gifts. I feel like...
They're awesome, though.
I feel like Shannon was exceedingly kind to... She really took one for the whole state of Texas, even though she's a Houstonian and not a Dallas resident. But thank you very much, Shannon.
Oh, hold on. There's something from Texas Magazine. I think.
Breaking news about Super Doctors.
Yeah, Robert N. Schnitzler. What a name.
The not real doctor.
The not real doctor who's got a heart. He's a heart doctor. But his name is Schnitzler, and that's really what I wanted to cover.
Thank you.
Of course, the only Jew in Texas is a doctor, and his name is Schnitzler.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Nick Kroll, human psychopath.
Great. Look, we have a sponsor on this week's program. Here's the situation. It's a podcast. Apparently, the hosts of this podcast are fans of our podcast. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. This is sort of what we do on Jordan Jesse Go for your edification, Nick. Sort of like a jumbotron. Mm-hmm. You can send us a little bit of money, and we'll share your message with the world. This program is called Fun Employment Radio. Fun Employment Radio.
I know that.
You have been a guest on that podcast.
I've been a guest.
I see you now on the list of guests.
I've been on that podcast.
Mm. It looks like a number of our favorite folks, people like Todd Glass and Nick Thune, who was last week's guest, Greg Barrett, who's been a guest on this podcast, Matt Bronger, he's been a guest on this podcast, right?
I do not think so.
Oh, well, Matt Bronger's hilarious.
Sure.
A lot of very funny people have been... Meatloaf, of course.
Wow. That's a get.
Lots of very funny people have been on this podcast. This is the specific reason that this podcast is sponsoring our show, and it's something that I need to just sort of break open a little bit so that we can get to the juicy stuff inside.
Mm-hmm.
There's a podcast award program called the Podcast Awards.
Great name.
And this podcast is sponsoring our podcast to get people to go to podcastawards.com and vote for their podcast as best comedy podcast. Now, here's my concern. I took a look at the nominees, and none of the nominees are Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Hmm. Are they?
They're nominated, and we're not. So I think this is sort of part sponsorship, part insult.
Yeah, part gloat.
Yeah.
They're sort of pissing on our face, aren't they?
Well, by, you know, also having me on the show.
Yeah.
Right.
Which one was more fun, truthfully?
I mean, to be honest, they were.
Yeah. Right. But did they have snacks?
Uh-huh.
Shit! Fuck! That was my trump card.
Yeah, their snacks are from Austin.
Now, I will say... I will say that The Sound of Young America is nominated for one of these podcast awards.
There you go.
So I say you can certainly go there and vote for The Sound of Young America. And I noticed that in the past, This American Life has been nominated in the same category as The Sound of Young America.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way we're going to beat This American Life. That show's got 3 million listeners.
Yeah.
But these other things, I never heard of any of them. I think we can take them down.
Take them down.
It's one of these things, you know, you vote like once a day or something. So... I've never asked people to vote for it in the past.
Right.
But...
because you know some hacker has figured out some algorithm.
If you're going to take the opportunity to go to their to go to the podcastawards.com so that you cannot vote for Fun Employment Radio, our sponsor, who are trying to stick our dick in it, which is an expression sure. I just created, and it is the ceiling fan.
Oh, okay.
Box fan?
Right. Wait, so you're not, they're trying to get you to stick your dick into a ceiling
They want
fan.
To stick my dick into a ceiling fan.
I was confused. I always thought that was when someone was doing you a favor because the it was a beautiful woman's vagina.
No, no, no. It's when you it's like a trust fall thing. Five people get underneath you. They can lift you on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a hard on, and that's the thing, somebody's got to be stimulating you so that so you got five people listening.
Or the you. Only way you can get a hard on is being lifted by five people.
Yeah. Right. If you're one of those types.
Which leads to a pretty sad life.
Sure.
Unless you've got a good budget for hard-ons. If you've got a hard-on budget. Yeah.
Unless you somehow ended up at the top of a cheerleader pyramid.
Jerk.
But anyway, I guess what I'm saying is these people paid us, and they can go fuck themselves.
I will say that, yeah, but I also will say
right?
It is an admission of your great reach, and whether you win awards or not, you are...
Which we do.
You do. I'm sure you do. That you are also...
an iTunes classic selection. Wow.
That's good.
How does that feel?
Feels great.
You're a tastemaker. They clearly come to you as a tastemaker.
Right. They come to us as a tastemaker. We're like Questlove from The Roots.
Exactly.
We're like, what's another good tastemaker? That's all I got.
Yeah. Isn't he Nick Harcourt from KCRW?
Yeah, Nick
what
Harcourt.
What happened That's to Nick regional. Harcourt?
He quit and got pissy because he didn't get paid enough. He asked for a raise and didn't get it, so he quit.
At
KCRW. He still hosts the weekend show that he did on KCRW, which is syndicated by
and now it's
Public Radio International.
Jason Bentley.
Jason Bentley with his beautiful voice and his inane questions.
You're not worried that Jason's voice. A listener?
I don't think Jason Bentley's a listener. I'm sure Jason Bentley's a great guy.
I miss Harcourt.
He's probably has gotten, but he's probably become a better interviewer. I'm judging him on he hasn't.
Yep. Nope.
I was judging him based on like his like first week of.
But you know who's a great interviewer?
Who's that?
Fun Employment Radio.
Yeah.
Fun Employment Radio. You did have a good time on this Fun Employment Radio.
I did. They were really fun. We watched some YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. We shared some different YouTube videos with each other.
On the radio?
Yeah, because they're based in Portland. And
so, of course,
they love YouTube. They love YouTube up there. No, but it was, I had been doing a bunch of local radio because the Helium Comedy Club opened up there. And so all the comics that they mentioned are all the comics who've come through the Helium. So you go and you do like the easy listening station with like Mark and Margarine. And they're like, so Nick, you were the Geico Caveman. Talk to us about that, you know? And you'd be like, you read my Wikipedia page. You know nothing about me. And then... went on there and it was like talking to human beings.
Right. I bet they are human beings. I mean, they're sick human beings coming on our show sure. trying to plug their awards that we didn't get nominated for.
And paying you for it.
And paying us for it.
God.
Which makes it even worse because they know we can't say no to the money. They know our weakness is money.
We love it.
We're money grubbers. We're going to, you know what? We're just going to take the money and then we're going to start lending it out and charging interest.
There you go.
Wow.
Lend that's it to how the, we do you, this. You take their money, then you lend it to the other podcast, comedy podcast nominees.
That's a good idea.
Spread it out.
Spread it out.
It's a human centipede situation.
You know what? Our friend Scott Aukerman and his podcast are nominated for the award. How about this? We're going to take your money and tell you to tell people to vote for Scott Aukerman.
Comedy Death Ray?
Yeah. You know what? I don't want that to win either. I think everyone loses. I think the biggest loss is being nominated for Best Comedy Podcast.
I've been on all of them.
Right. I mean, you're the common ingredient.
So I'm the winner here. Think, right?
Do you think the problem was that we hadn't had you on yet when they announced the nominations?
I have to. I mean, I'm going to talk to the higher ups at the Podcast Awards tomorrow.
Sure.
Just to figure out.
Well, you're looking at Rob Walsh from Podcast 411.
Of course.
Kevin Smith.
Yeah, Kevin Smith from the Smodcastle.
And Grammar Girl.
Okay, I need to address one thing about Kevin Smith. I'm glad that you mentioned this. In all sincerity, check out their show, Fun Employment Radio.
It is a really fun show, Fun Employment Radio.
I want to address the issue of Kevin Smith for a moment.
Sure.
We spoke briefly about Kevin Smith's podcasting theater, The Smodcastle, on a recent program. Since then, I read an article in Fast Company magazine about The Smodcastle. Look. A guy I know wrote an article about Boing Boing for Fast Company magazine. We know and love the Boing Boing people. I read that article, and then there was a thing, learn more about Kevin Smith's crazy Smodcastle. So I had to click on it. Kevin Smith, in part, is financing the Smodcastle through the vast wealth he's earned through his critically acclaimed films. In part, Kevin Smith is financing the Smodcastle through ticket sales of live podcast recordings at the venue. Both of these make sense to me. He is also charging $5,000 to administer weddings at the Smodcastle.
Yes. What is
$5,000?
Meanwhile, you guys are giving away free wedding.
Look, I'm
proposals.
Fucking. I'm flying to Seattle tomorrow to officiate. Next weekend to officiate a listener's wedding.
Wait, are you going to be there the same weekend I'm doing my
meetup? I think you're there the weekend after.
Oh, okay.
But I'm flying to Seattle to officiate a listener's wedding, and I'm not getting $5,000.
Well, did you ask for $5,000? Maybe this goes back to Nick.
What kind of sicko asks for $5,000? Okay, here's the dual. Number one, Kevin Smith seems like a very decent fellow. A very funny man.
Candle smells like a diaper. Go ahead.
But here's my issue with this $5,000 number. Mm-hmm. I see it as having two problems, okay? Mm-hmm. One of the problems of this $5,000 number is it's kind of gross to ask for $5,000 to officiate someone's wedding. It's a little gross to do that. That's the one side of it.
You got to ask for like 10.
And the one side of it is $5,000 to officiate someone's wedding is kind of gross.
Not enough.
The other side of it is, if you're Kevin Smith, shouldn't you be making more than $5,000 to make a personal appearance?
Well, but is he saying that I will officiate your wedding or you can get married at the Smodcastle?
He officiates the wedding. According to Fast Company magazine.
The hit magazine.
He reads...
Climbing up the magazine charts.
It's the Kevin Smith movie of magazines. He interviewed the couple live on the show for posterity, not on the Smodcast, which is his signature show, I think, but for posterity so they can distribute it to their family and friends. Mm-hmm. And then he does the wedding. And their friends can come to the Smodcastle and sit in the audience.
So the Smodcastle is a venue.
It's like a 50-seat theater, I think. Maybe it's a 100-seat theater.
So you got to keep the number small for the wedding.
Right. You can't invite no extended family. Just primary family, close friends from just college. Fraternity, core fraternity brothers.
For that?
Maybe not Kevin Smith fans.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like your stormtrooper brigade could show up.
So I don't know. Either way, it leaves me with a bad taste in my mouth. Anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you want me to have your wedding here at my house, I will officiate it. $5,000.
There you go. There you go.
$5,000. We'll be back in just a second. Oh, hey, listen, if you want to sponsor an upcoming episode of Jordan Jesse Go, email Teresa at MaximumFun.org. $100 for a personal message, $150 for a commercial message. It's just that easy. And of course, you can email her about underwriting on The Sound of Young America or any of other or other sort of business development-y type operations. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I am Nick Kroll, Jesse Thorne.
That's an all-time great. Hey, listen, when something momentous happens to our callers, we ask that they call in at 206-984-4FUN and let us know about it. We've got some doozies this week. Let's go to the phones.
Hey, Jordan Jesse Go. This is Lance from Birmingham. I got a momentous occasion, or it could be a moment of shame. So my wife's been ordering stuff off of Amazon since Christmas is coming up, and there's a couple packages near my front door. I was already told what one of the items was, which was an iPod accessories kit with headphones and hard case and protective cover for the screen and all that. So I knew what it was, so I was going to open it. I assumed that that was what was by my front door. And I opened the package, and inside was a big floppy pink dildo. I was shocked, and I asked my wife if she ordered it, and she looked just about as shocked as I was, and we looked at the name on the address, and it was, I'm not going to give the last name, but someone named Kurt. So we received Kurt's dildo, and we were wondering how we should return it. Should we put it in... put it as return to sender, or should we wrap it in wrapping paper as, so it's dick-shaped, wrapped in wrapping paper, and leave it on his front door? Should I pluck a pubic hair and put it on the dildo and put a small piece of...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Not a pubic hair. That's one step too far. I was with you when you were talking about getting a dildo in the mail.
Sure.
But I lost track of this whole thing when he said, pluck a pubic hair.
Can I just say... Look, Kurt Rambis.
ordered NBA something. Hall of Famer Kurt Rambis.
Was looking to spice up his lovemaking.
Bespectacled NBA All-Star. Wanted to have a little fun for the holidays. A
little pink fun.
A little pink fun. You know what I mean?
Right, now, it sounds like big pink fud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's a big man.
Big. He is a big man.
It's a big anus.
Yeah.
He's a big man with a big anus.
He's actually a power forward.
This holiday season, Kurt Rambis is a big man with a big anus. Pink floppy dildo. Starring Kurt Rambis and Jack Black.
I would watch that movie.
Yeah, I think... Oh, boy.
Can you just reseal it? I mean,
it's like it's for his neighbor or something.
Tape? I think you got to send
it. It depends on if it came with frustration-free packaging.
I think you got to send that back to Amazon and say... This was return to sender, and
maybe you'll get your hotel room comped.
Yeah, you don't let him know that you got his pink dildo.
Okay, you don't just say. Do you? What if you brought cookies as well?
Only if they were shaped like balls.
What if you just close it up with like electrical tape, and then brought cookies and said, "Your package was accidentally delivered to my house, and I made you some cookies."
I made you some cookies, and then you stare. Way too long into his eyes.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse Go. This is Jess in North Carolina. I'm calling with a momentous occasion. Yesterday, I was carpooling with some coworkers to our Christmas party, and we were on the interstate and saw an old bearded man in the car next to us, which was a Volkswagen Beetle, driving and playing a recorder at the same time. He was steering with his elbows, and the recorder was sticking through the steering wheel, and he was playing the recorder while driving.
That's magical.
Sure.
That's great.
That's and a kind of, dangerous, but sure, mostly magical.
That's a kind of, well, I mean, it's pretty, he's probably driving, you got to figure this is a classic Beetle, not a new Beetle, right?
Yeah. This is not a flower pot in the beetle.
Yeah, no. This is a traditional beetle.
This is Herbie painted like sure. deep green.
Or possibly with a recorder painted on the side.
I mean, that's amazing.
What's amazing about it is, Candy, why not play a real musical instrument?
Well, because a flute, you got it coming out the side.
Right. That's going to be a problem for aerodynamics. You've
got to keep the window open for
especially
that.
A lot of times those old Beatles don't have roll-up, roll-down windows. They've only got sort of tilt in and out windows.
Exactly. Or you go saxophone.
Right.
That's going to be a difficult.
You got to keep the reed wet.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking wind instruments, basically, right? That's right. The option. An oboe is going to be way too big.
Much too large.
You're going to have an oboe riding the clutch the whole time. That's a problem.
How about a penny whistle?
A penny whistle could work.
You know what my only concern would be? What if somebody starts doing a jig?
Get yourself an issue.
If there's a penny whistle, that's likely to happen. Okay.
Was the gentleman playing the instrument Doug Flutie?
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, possible guest. This is Sean from Muncie, Indiana, calling with a momentous occasion. I just saw Jim Davis, the creator of Garfield, buying a Twilight movie on DVD. So that's what he's doing now.
How do you know what Jim Davis looks like?
Yeah, also. But hasn't Jim Davis since kind of outsourced the creation of Garfield to like his son or something?
I don't know, but did you guys see the Veterans Day fiasco that he had?
Wait, was there a Veterans Day themed Garfield?
There was a Garfield that was like, enough with remembering these people, or whatever Garfield would say about something. It just happened to have fallen on Veterans Day, and Jim Davis is like, I write these, they get portioned out over a year.
Oh, Garfield. Was Garfield saying something about, like, John did something ridiculous, and Garfield says something about, I'm glad it's National Idiots Day.
Yeah.
And then, but it just happened to run on Veterans Day.
I assume that the only way you know it's Jim Davis if he's just, like, covered in lasagna. Just like everything he touches, he's buying the Twilight movie. He's just like, why is there marinara sauce all over all the Twilight cheese?
Jim Davis was in here earlier. Yeah.
Write what you know.
Yeah.
He just believes strongly in orange cats and lasagna.
Because Jim Davis eats it, he just sits in front of the pan and then shovels it, throws it at his mouth.
Yeah, of course. Just some dumb dog behind him.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Shannon from Omaha, calling in with an occasion. If you can't tell, I am terribly sick. I have had a cold for going on 3 weeks. I am achy and drippy and tired. But tonight I bought tickets for Max FunCon 2011 for me and my husband, Greg. So things are looking up. See you guys in June.
Bravo. She made the right call, Jordan.
Sure.
90% full now. Max FunCon, 90% full. Less than 24 beds remaining. MaxFunCon.com if people want to register.
And this is where you guys reenact where everybody wears Nikes and kills each other and kills themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, that's right. The whole thing.
We don't kill ourselves. The people there kill themselves, but we have to have it the next year.
Well, so. It depends on which year it is.
It's the Heaven's Gate cult.
We alternate years. So like 1 year, it'll be a Jim Jones kind of thing. Mm-hmm. 1 year, it's Heaven's Gate. 1 year, it's Aum Shinrikyo.
Great. Great. Do you guys ever just have a
It's where we
Wake,
put
Waco
ricin
Fun?
On a subway.
Yeah, that's no. Next year is going to be Waco.
Waco
Fun. It's going to be, there's going to be underage girl marrying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a firebombing.
Yeah.
By Janet Reno herself.
Yeah.
Janet Reno will come in and throw out the first fireball.
As played by Will Ferrell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm Jordan Thorne.
Jordan, it's been a pleasure to have you. Mr. Thorne, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program.
You know what? Just call me Nick Kroll.
Nick, people can watch you on The League on FX along with our friend Paul Scheer, the almost disconcertingly handsome Mark Duplass.
Interesting.
Wouldn't you say you don't think Mark Duplass is a very handsome man?
I find him to be a very approachably handsome man.
That's what I'm talking about. He's got that kind of Tom Hanks brother-in-law handsomeness.
Yeah. Yeah, because John Lajoie, also on the show, is, I think, an unquestionably handsome man.
Sure.
And Ran Aziz is just a fucking guinea.
This is a show. This is a show of handsome. This is a handsome show.
No, it's. I don't think that's. I appreciate it. It's very kind of you to say. But we're not on that show for our good looks.
Mark Duplass has a beautiful wife on the show as well.
Katie Hazelton.
Another gifted actress.
Yes.
Director, I presume. I have not seen the film she directed.
It's great. The Freebie. Go see The Freebie.
Okay.
It's great.
But Thursday night, a double shot. If you're listening to this shortly after we broadcast it, the season finale of The League, or you can watch it on your internet devices.
But it'll take you a month to get to Hulu.
Bringing it back.
Oh. iTunes, you can buy it the next day. But it's the final two episodes, 12 and 13 of the season. And I think those following the show will enjoy seeing what happens with The League.
What can I say? It's an enjoyable program. You bring in some funny people, you let them be funny.
Thank you.
That's what that show's all about. You get a Nick Kroll in there. Hey, we need a guest star. Bring in Hubel.
There you go.
You know what I'm talking about? This is the kind of stuff. Chad Ochocinco.
Get him involved.
Let's bring Chad
Ochocinco.
The great
comedy mind of Chad Ochocinco. You know, and this is coming from a real Hollywood insider.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
I think that's all we need to talk
will
about.
Will, right? Alan Alda and Kelsey Grammer be appearing on the show?
God,
maybe season 3.
I wish. I would love for either of them to be on the show. I find
they're both really funny and great.
They are both insanely talented comic actors.
Yeah, really skilled, talented. And I love Alan Alda.
I would let Alan Alda talk to me about science forever.
I do. I watch his fucking show sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's not the greatest show, but fuck, Alan Alda is really great. It's not a bad show. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's a solid PBS program, it's no Antiques Roadshow.
It's like if Nova fucked MASH.
I have an important request out there for anybody in the audience, speaking of PBS shows. I heard that the lady who hosted the TRL replacement talk show on MTV,
Alexa Chung, been on the show.
Is going to be, she's been on The League?
No, I was on her show.
Oh.
Alexa Chung on MTV.
Alexa Chung is going to be hosting a PBS show about thrift store shopping. Mm-hmm. And I want to make it clear, if anyone out there has any show business connections that can get me on the PBS show about thrift store shopping, I'll bring Dr. Phil's shoes. I'll blow up my spots here in Los Angeles or in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I'll do anything. There's never been a Hollywood project more perfectly suited to my talents than a PBS show. I'm going to repeat again, a public television show about thrift store shopping.
There's a real excitement in your voice.
I found the producer on Facebook and made her my Facebook friend.
And now you slowly will infiltrate
this
her all, mind.
I got to do something. I got to do something to get on this thing.
I'll see what I can do.
Why would they even have this without me being involved? Why even have it?
Well, you and Alexa are shopping for the same stuff.
We are. Yeah. That's true.
You guys, you see her in auditions a lot.
Sure. Vintage.
You're a Chung type.
We're both into vintage.
Sure.
206-9844-FUN, the number to call if you've got a question for us. You want to play... You want to do what's that called? Moment of shame.
Sure.
Talking about a momentous occasion.
Sure.
206.
All examples.
9844-FUN. You can email us at jjgo@maximumfun.org. You want to sponsor the show, Teresa@maximumfun.org. You can catch me and Jordan. We were just taping the IFC Spirit Awards nomination special.
Mm.
I didn't even get to talk about Eva Mendez touching me.
No.
Ava Mendez, excuse me. She didn't touch anything special, but she touched my leg, which was pretty good.
That's great.
Jordan,
jack it to that for months.
Jordan and I are going to be on that program. I didn't even get to talk about Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Oh.
This is some stuff we're going to save for a future episode.
Nick, you have some opinions about Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
By the way, before you watch that movie, go listen to...
Werner Herzog on The Treatment?
Yes.
Because that's the greatest.
Sure.
Before you go, trust me, the movie, it will be infinitely better if you listen to that.
It's the single greatest interview in radio history.
He says, instead of going to...
some Herzogian elements. I'm like, what is that? Well, the iguanas. We shot the iguanas from their point of view. It's amazing.
And he tells kids, instead of going to film school, you should work at a strip club.
Yeah, he does.
Sorry for all the business. My meetup is scheduled December 17th, Seattle.
December 17th at Shorty's, 8
o'clock.
p.m.
That's it. It's going to be great.
There's, if you forget that information, you didn't write it down, we put up an event page at MaximumFun.org, so just look at the events in the right-hand corner, the right-hand side. I'm looking forward to your meetup. It's going to be really great, not quite as great as my meetups.
That's going to destroy.
Jordan and I have a little sort of meetup rivalry going.
Oh, I can tell.
Yeah. And Jordan, I've had a lot of really successful meetups, and Jordan has yet to host a successful meetup.
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of a... I don't want to say failure, but I'm not sure if there's another.
I'm picking up on the social cue here.
Noun here. I mean, I guess.
Poppycock?
Yeah.
A real fiddle faddle.
We'll talk to you next time on Jordan, Jesse, Go.